And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is so nice to be with you on this Sunday morning. I'm Jo Stanley and with me is Gerald Quigley. Good morning,
Dickie. Good morning, Jo. How are you?
I'm very well and lovely to see you, Zoe Bingley Pullman.
Good morning all. Happy New Year. It is for me. This is my first time back on radio this year. So good to start anew. I'm excited.
True. Can you believe it's already February though?
Isn't it amazing?
Earth has happened.
And I have some exciting news as well.
Oh, please do share.
I won't use the word rat because that, you know, they're mice and they're, but it's a common, but I think it's quite denigrating to rapid antigen tests, which are very important tools. I just want to let everyone know there are plenty available now. There is no issue. There is a limit of the two packs of three at a time. For people with concession cards that we spoke about last week or the week before, there's plenty of those. They can get a five-pack on their concession card, and the five packs are available online. The important thing is they are available. If you want to keep some to keep as insurance at home, they're certainly available. Chemist Warehouse have heaps. Go for it.
Yes. No panic. No need for panic.
No. And remember we said this was going to happen, but it was a bit hard to believe at the time.
Yes.
It's all sorted.
So here we are in February, which is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Mm. And when we say awareness, I think in this instance we are literally meaning we want to spread this message to women to be aware of the changes in your body, of the signs that are persistent, that you do need to go and get checked out, because ovarian cancer often goes undetected to very, very sad results. We lose one courageous Australian woman to ovarian cancer every 8 hours. It's a very, very sad disease.
Yeah, and Joe, what's so incredible about it is that it's the symptoms we have to be mindful of, because, again, they mask, they're very similar to any symptom that a woman's going through. I mean, abdominal bleeding, lower back pain, change in, you know, bowel symptoms. I mean, come on. This is what I go through all the time, and I'm sure every woman out there. So we really need to be very much a detective in our own health. We need to look at these symptoms and we need to know the information. And there's such a wonderful resource out there, so it's really tapping into that resource.
As well, Zoe, in yesterday's Australian magazine, in the Weekend Australian, there was a full-page ad, which I've showed Joe before, and they're calling the symptoms as vague. And that really means it really means it could be anything. And the important thing is we don't have a screening program, which I think is very sad, because this is every cancer serious. This one's very serious, and we should be able to screen for it, particularly those who have got family histories.
Yes. It's interesting. I personally went through, I had CN3 when I was about 19, so again, that's abnormal cells. And the only reason that I actually found that out is because I had an amazing GP who I just happened to be telling these symptoms to. Yeah. I was young, I was very naive, I had no idea, but she was like, just go and get checked out. And thankfully she did, because it was something that we were able to combat at an early stage and then therefore be aware of moving forward my entire life.
So yes, it's a very, very important conversation, not just in February, but always. But obviously in February we focus Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. And today Associate Professor Orla McNally is a gynecological cancer surgeon at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre and Royal Women's Hospital. And she's going to be joining us to talk all about ovarian cancer and women's health and help educate us on the diagnosis and the treatment. Now, we have talked recently about acknowledging our healthcare workers for their incredible efforts throughout the pandemic. And this morning, we're going to be joined by a nurse, Lucy Aitken, who worked on the front line throughout the pandemic. And she's going to share what it was like as a nurse working on the front line in this time and how the nursing role has changed over the last couple of years. It's going to be really interesting. And I think an important conversation to hear from Lucy firsthand. In that regard. And we continue in our A to Z of Vitamins to deep dive into ubiquinol and all its wonderful benefits, as well as we hope we would love to hear from you, 131 873 with any questions for your health give us a call, 131-873, if you're looking for some advice. Next, we learn the signs and symptoms of ovarian cancer.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
CoQ10 is produced in the body to support heart health, but it declines as we age. Try Go Healthy's Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol from Chemist Warehouse. It boosts your body's supply of CoQ10 to help support cardiovascular health, immune function and energy levels. Plus, it's readily absorbed by your body. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligrams is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. As we said, February is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, which is all about raising awareness, sharing the stories of the incredibly courageous women affected by the disease, and very importantly, educating Australians on ovarian cancer diagnosis and treatment. Joining us on the line to tell us more is Associate Professor Orla McNally, Gynaecological Cancer Surgeon at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre and Royal Women's Hospital. Good morning, Orla.
Good morning, everyone.
It is so lovely to have you on the show to speak about this very important topic. Can you tell us a little bit about ovarian cancer and why it is so difficult to diagnose?
Well, it all comes down to the fact that those ovaries are actually quite small organs that sit right down in the pelvis. And what we now know is that it doesn't take much for the cancer, after it starts to grow in the ovaries, to leave that area and go into other parts of the pelvic area, which is the lower part of the abdomen, and then up higher into the upper part. And what happens then is those areas grow and start to give symptoms only when there is a lot of the disease already present. So that makes it actually very difficult for us to pick it up at an early stage. And the other part of it is that it usually occurs at that age when we're getting to the age where we're feeling a little bit on the bloated side, maybe gained a little bit of weight around the time of menopause, and also have other problems like irritable bowel syndrome. So it's very easy to think that it's due to that rather than anything more sinister.
Professor, it's interesting. I watched a very good girlfriend of mine go through ovarian cancer, and fortunately, thank God, she was fine, but as a result, cannot have children as a result of this. How do we... Because I was so shocked. She was healthy. She didn't fit any of the sort of markers that you would think an unhealthy person would actually get ovarian. How do we raise awareness? How do we get people to talk to their GP and normalise this conversation about talking about, you know, our reproductive health or our health in general?
Well, I think having programs like this morning obviously are extremely helpful. One of the big things that has happened over the last decade is realising that there are some genetic reasons why ovarian mm-hmm. cancer happens. And so a genetic cause for ovarian cancer is the case in at least 15% of cases. And we are going a long way to identifying the women who have this gene and therefore their relatives who also might have the gene mm-hmm. and being able to identify them. And unfortunately, however, it means for them that the only way to reduce their chance of getting this cancer is actually removing the tubes, the fallopian tubes in the ovaries, which for a lot of women is around the time also of the menopause or even quite a few years beforehand. So it's going to have all of those menopause-related issues associated with it. And that's a group of women, just like your friend, who are largely very, very healthy. This may come out of the blue because it's a relative of a relative that has found the abnormality, and so there's a flow-on effect for those other members. But it's a really important strategy for us reducing the number of women who are diagnosed with ovarian cancer. For those who don't have a genetic reason for their cancer developing, it's a lot trickier. And unfortunately, we do not have a good screening test for ovarian cancer. So unlike mammograms, which are there to detect breast cancer, we don't have something like that for ovarian cancer. So an ultrasound, for example, of the pelvis is not good enough to tell us if we're going to develop a problem. The other thing is that a lot of women think that the traditional pap smear, which actually it's no longer the pap smear, it's the cervical screening, cancer screening test. It is not a test to detect a problem in the ovaries or even in the uterus. It's only a test for detecting an abnormality in the cervix. So I guess what I advise women is that they do monitor what their bodies are like, get to know what it feels like, particularly in the pelvic area, particularly what their bladder habit is, their bowel habit is, because what we do know for most women who do have an ovarian cancer diagnosis is they have had symptoms for a while. And so if they have some symptoms that have persisted, particularly maybe beyond a couple of weeks, that they get that checked out. And if they're not happy with the advice that they're given, then they seek advice from another specialist.
Paula, the stats in Australia are bad enough, but in your experience and with your background from Ireland, for instance, and you probably talk to colleagues there, are the stats similar in other countries, or is this issue more challenging in Australia?
Well, actually, I'm very proud to say that as part of an international cancer benchmarking group, Australia is in the top five countries for outcomes for women who are diagnosed and treated with ovarian cancer.
Well done.
In fact, we're second only to Norway. And interestingly, in Norway, it is actually mandatory for a woman with ovarian cancer to be managed by a gynae oncology specialist. And we're not quite there with that yet in Australia, but I think one of the messages to women who are diagnosed with ovarian cancer or suspected of having it is that they are managed in a gynae oncology centre by a gynae oncology multidisciplinary team. And that's really the thing that has actually, we have seen some improvements in outcomes for women with ovarian cancer in the last decade in Australia too. And it's to do with this multidisciplinary approach and to do with the research that has made huge strides in this cancer.
Well, Orla, I have to say I was deeply moved by the Ovarian Cancer Australia website because of the use of the word courage. The theme is carry the courage. And I know I've too witnessed a woman who has lived with ovarian cancer, and it is really the courage that comes with that is something quite
incredible.
Special, isn't it?
Oh, anyone who has to have an experience of cancer is extremely brave. But I agree with you that the women who I see on a day-to-day basis with ovarian cancer, some of the bravest that I have come across in my life. And it is certainly my privilege to be involved in their care.
Oh, well, lovely. I do encourage you to head along to the website, which is ovariancancer.net.au, buy a teal ribbon or donate. All of it, of course, is going towards really critical research and supporting women and families who are going through ovarian cancer. Thank you so much, Professor Orla McNally.
Thank you very much for having me on the show this morning.
Thanks, Orla.
And you have a great day, and we'll get to your calls next on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
You are listening to The House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Zoe Bingley-Pullen, and we are here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Yeah, let's get to some calls. Hi there, Gilda in Chernside Park.
Oh, good morning to you all. I've just been listening to that doctor, and she was saying how there wasn't any screening for ovarian cancer. I just thought my experience might help.
Sure.
I've had ovarian cancer, and mine was discovered by a colonoscopy.
Okay. Interesting. So that how did that happen, Gilda?
Because it's a slightly different procedure.
Yeah.
So tell us about it, Gilda.
Well, I had to go. I just got one of those kits in the mail.
Yes.
And so I went along, and I had that procedure done, and they asked me to go and see another doctor that they had there, and they discovered that I had ovarian cancer, but it was definitely from the colonoscopy.
Well done.
Wow.
And that goes back to what Orla was saying before, that we've got to look outside the square, multidisciplinary, and well done for you going somewhere where they said, look, this doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's get someone else to have a look at it. And it's changed and probably potentially saved your life, Gilda, so well done.
And I just thought that maybe that is another reason why women will go, and I know it's a different procedure, as you said, Gerald, but... Something somewhere connected it. And lots of people don't want to go and have colonoscopies, but I'm glad I did.
Absolutely.
It's a great lesson.
Yes. Thank you so much, Gilda. And I think it's an interesting thing. Like we do, I have regular colonoscopies, and it's obviously an intrusive and fairly unpleasant procedure, but I happily do it because, of course, rather know that I'm safe than not.
That's right.
And to me, that there's not a screening for ovarian cancer.
That's quite amazing,
when we have this very... very intrusive
prolific,
procedure that we all do regularly. I think if with adequate funding, would there be a screening that we could actually have? I wonder.
Yeah, and I think the whole idea is to kind of really get in there and normalise this whole topic. I mean, I went through IVF. I've gone through all these different procedures where they're very invasive. They're not comfortable, but I'm so grateful for the doctors, the persistency and the knowledge that was out there. And we just really need to encourage women to just ask those questions. And it as Gerald says, it starts with our GP. That's our front line. That's the first person
empowerment,
there.
Empowerment, Zoe. Ask questions. If something doesn't make sense, ask why. And there's no harm done. No one's going to yell at you because you keep asking a question.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your call there, Gilda. And we are thinking of every woman and your incredible courage if you are going through ovarian cancer right now. John in the Southern Shire.
Morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Doctor. Look, I just want to make a comment about the screening test and also ask a question. Initially, I wanted to be tested a colonoscopy just right on 3 years. And I spoke to the doctor about it. Not that I had any symptoms or anything like that, but the doctor said, oh, no, the screening for a colonoscopy for colon cancer normally starts to show up about 8 to 10 years. Anyway, he finally gave in after about 3.5 years, and I had the colonoscopy. And it was found that I did have a tumour, a cancer in my colon, and the doctor, then I had it was removed. 27 lymph nodes were removed. Then following that, I had a PET CT scan, which then showed nothing, which made me feel pretty good. The diagnosis on the lymph nodes showed negative. And the doctor diagnosed it as stage 2A, T4A, no MO. So now I got the first point was maybe you should have those colonoscopies done because I'm elderly. Sooner than 8 or 10 years.
Absolutely.
And then the question was that, okay, nothing showed up in the PET CT scan after the colon was removed, nothing in the lymph nodes and so forth. But I've been put on this capecitabine now, eight stages of that. And I'm wondering just how effective is capecitabine. When you look at all the peer groups on YouTube and that, the doctors seem to be very divided in their opinions, these professors and that so forth, and they do sometimes say, oh, there might be like 3.8% benefit from capecitabine.
John, I think let me reassure you that we with a lot of these treatments, it's individualised. So your practitioner, in his clinical skills, has chosen this medication for you. So my plea is, forget about the YouTubes. Forget about, if you've got a question, don't go to YouTube or Dr. Google, and it's just very convenient because it's 24 hours a day and no charge. You write down the question and you address it to the oncologist who prescribed that medication for you, being confident that it's the right one. So, and it's easy for me to say, and because you're the one with the treatment, but never cause yourself unnecessary anxiety by worrying about something that really the question should be addressed and would happily be accepted by your doctor.
Mm. All the best with that, John. And Stephen in Greenvale, good morning.
Hi, Stephen.
G'day, guys. Look, actually, I was reading for myself that you're on this topic. My mother, in her 50s to late 40s, she was experiencing this weird pain that just came and go. It was pelvic pain. And, you know, my dad, you know, uneducated migrant, he had no idea what she had. And yes, every time we took her to the doctor, all he did was say, you know, it was something she ate or it was stress or something like that. Mm. This went on for years. And then later on, to cut a long story short, she was x-rayed because she had some bowel cancer. And while they were doing x-rays, they found on her ovaries that she had a tumour on one of them, and they found out that was the cause of her pain, which was never picked up for about 5 to 7 years. So they removed her ovaries because they thought that might lead to ovarian cancer, but luckily it was benign. So yeah, sometimes I think these doctors, they treat, you know, women like, you know, they don't know what they're, you know, suffering from. They just dismiss them quite quickly. And I was really upset with that doctor. And, yeah, luckily they found it eventually.
I think, Stephen, just a comment on that. These are humans. And it gets back to what we talked about a little while ago, becoming empowered. And thankfully now, patients are more empowered. And if it doesn't make sense, Joe and Zoe, you just want to pursue it, don't you? This doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, I'm happy for that explanation, but it still doesn't make sense. So what else can we do? And there's no shame in that.
No.
And I think because the nature of the symptoms, it's very easy to dismiss them as well. And I mean, even my mother used to explain to me that any symptom relating to your health is, you know it. So always talk to your GP, be persistent with it as well, and normalise that conversation and keep persisting.
But, you know, I was speaking with an incredible woman during the week who is an ovarian cancer survivor and an ambassador for Ovarian Cancer Australia. Excuse me. And she explained that it is a very rare cancer, ovarian cancer, and some GPs will never be presented with it in their life.
No, that's right.
So in defence of our incredible GPs who are very hardworking and across an extraordinary array of different kinds of issues that they're seeing, it is understandable that at times perhaps it's something that they may not be completely alert to because it is such a rare condition. So, you know, but being an advocate for our own health is super, important. Super important.
Stephen, did you have a quick question? Thank you for your comment.
His question was about bicep muscle strain.
Okay, yeah, Stephen,
he has a bicep muscle strain.
Go and get some arnica cream, rub it into it, and it'll make a real difference to healing.
Yes, thank you so much, Stephen, for your call. Next up, we get an insider's perspective of what it has really been like for healthcare workers on the front line of the pandemic.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go healthy. CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Well, as we enter the third year of COVID, we want to thank our nurses and all of the healthcare workers in the front line who have been working so hard caring for us. But what has it really been like during this time for our nurses? Well, we've heard stories that they're exhausted, that they're stressed. So let's hear from someone who really is on the front line. Joining us now is Nurse Lucy Aitken. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning. How are you going? Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. Can you give us a little snapshot of what it's been like for you?
Oh, it's been really tough, actually. Yeah, the last 2 years have been really, really tough for nurses. I think, you know, I entered the profession, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to, you know, help people, and it's absolutely changed. Like, nursing 2 years ago is completely different. It's like our staffing levels are so different, and we're being asked to look after, you know, patient ratios that we usually definitely wouldn't be, and it's not safe. So, yeah, everything's changed. We're having to wear PPE all shift long, so we're not only, like, emotionally tired, but physically tired too, so it's been really, really hard, and, you know, morale isn't that high around nurses at the moment. We can't have our breaks together at all. So, it's been really, really hard. But Yeah.
Definitely. Look, Lucy, I just personally want to say thank you to you and all the nurses out there. And I also want to say thank you to the two nurses that look after my mother, because aged care is a real issue out there as well. And it's quite amazing, because I've seen some of the struggles that they've told me about, that they've had to compromise, and just even travelling, the travel to work, they've had to change how they travel to work. They've all these minor things that we don't think about. They've had to compromise and change. And even on the weekend, they're compromised by seeing certain people as well. So that normalisation of the outlet. But tell me, what are some of the struggles that you're seeing? And more importantly, how are you protecting yourself, sweetheart? Because that's what I want to know. Yeah. I want to make sure that you guys are okay, because we need you badly.
I know. It's been really hard, because they're saying, you know, continue your life, go out.
Very hard.
But then it's like, if we go out and we get COVID and then we come back to the hospital, we've got the extra stress of potentially giving it to our patients, and they're the ones who, why we're there and who we're meant to be looking after. So we've got the extra stress of all that. And then we've also got the extra stress of potentially getting it at work and then giving it to our loved ones too. So it's kind of, you know, any way you go, it's really, really difficult. And I think it's just really disappointing. It's like, you know, everyone's going to age and everyone's going to need care. And I think, you know, the government aren't putting enough, you know, resources into, you know, our loved ones. And it's like, everyone's going to be there. It's going to be your mum, your dad, your grandma, and you'd want them to have the best care possible. And that's just not being there at the moment. So it's really, really sad. And it's tough to see when you want to give patients the best care possible, and it's just not possible.
It's a fascinating phrase, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I think every healthcare practitioner in any role always has those ideals, Lucy. And the hardest part, you know, perceptions are important. And we hear this word hero every now and again. But with a hero narrative, does it mean we put unrealistic expectations on, say, you as a nurse, where with inadequate resources, inadequate staffing, inadequate safety precautions in a number of, does it mean that in fact people are leaving your profession? So is the problem becoming exacerbated?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing every day really skilled, highly trained nurses leaving and thinking, you know, I'm getting paid very poorly to do X, Y, and Z, which is out of my scope of practice. It's not safe. We're going home physically tired, emotionally tired, you know, so it's like, why would they stay? What's the incentive? It doesn't really make any sense logically. So, you know, the hero, I think people like to throw around the hero phrase because maybe it makes them feel better that they're saying, oh, the nurses are heroes, but to be honest, I'd rather just, you know, either a pay increase or conditions to be improved.
Yes.
I'd rather that than to be called a hero, because it's just empty words, to be honest.
Or more nurses, Lucy.
More nurses, but you're never going to get more nurses when the conditions are like this.
No.
People don't want to enter into, you know, a workplace that's, you know, not safe and it's, you know, not a nice place to be.
So we absolutely support pay increase and better conditions, but on a day-to-day basis, what is useful to you from the community?
I guess everyone getting vaccinated, number one, is really, really useful. You know, everyone trying to do the right thing, socially distanced still, but it's hard. People want to reconnect. They've been apart for so many years. So I don't know. We have to get back to, you know, general day-to-day life. And I think, just compassion. And like, if you, you know, have a nurse friend, maybe check in on them, see how they're going. And I think just, really understanding how hard it is for us at the moment, and, just being there for us and trying to support us as best as possible, because, I think the community has done a really good job as a whole the last 2 years to support us, and I don't think it's the community's fault. I think it's, I think the government has to step up to the plate a little bit and help us out, because we're drowning a little bit and we need their help.
Yes. Mm. Well, thank you. I understand, Lucy, that you're actually on your break right now in the middle of a work shift. So I thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Yep. I picked up an extra because we were down. So I thought, I'll definitely have my break with you guys.
Well done.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lucy. And we hope that you have a bit of rest time this week as well.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thank you so much. And we'll get to more of your calls next on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
What's clean, vegan and packed full of skin-loving ingredients? It's new Rimmel London Kind and free moisturising skin tint. It's free from nasties, formulated with aloe vera and antioxidant complex of vitamin E and B5, delivering 24-hour hydration. The lightweight formula evens skin tone and blurs imperfections and is suitable for sensitive skin. It's clean beauty that works, no compromises. Rimmel London Kind and free moisturising skin tint is $9.97. at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go healthy. CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. And in AZ of Vitamins, we have been deep diving into Ubiquinol. It seems like it's so important.
It's not magic, Joe, but it is, and let's just clear up once again, Ubiquinol is the ready-to-use form of coenzyme Q10. It's important for energy production at mitochondrial level. So this is the very basis of energy production. Concentrated in the heart, we know, plays a role in cholesterol management by dropping your LDL or bad cholesterol. And sadly, we just cannot get anywhere near enough in any food group, no matter what's advertised. It just isn't there. So it's the sort of supplement that if you find you're tired or you're using cholesterol-lowering medications, worth getting some advice.
It definitely is a unique enzyme to actually have in, you know, in the body as well, because we, as just Gerald said, I mean, we try to have a very well-balanced diet, but we just can't get enough. I personally give this to my father. He has angina, and we've seen a dramatic increase in just his overall energy levels. So it's something that I think is a real win on that lovely list of supplements we need to take on a daily basis.
Lovely. Let's get to a call. Good morning, Claudette in Surrey Hills.
Yes, good morning. I'm 80 years old, and it never happened before. Suddenly, my ankle all swollen. I thought maybe the heat we had a few days ago, but now it's cold weather, and I'm diabetic too. So is there anything I can do to stop the swelling? Or
look, you should talk about this with your doctor, Claudette. Do you take medications for blood pressure?
Beg your pardon?
Do you have any medication for blood pressure?
Yes, I do.
Because often they can be an underlying reason why your ankles are swollen. So if you could please tomorrow make an appointment to see your GP, write down the things that worry you about your ankles, because I'm sure with a review of your medicines, we can take care of that. But it's got to come from your doctor.
It definitely sounds like it's probably, like as Gerald said, more medication basis. But even a simple thing that you can do is just to look at your sodium content. And my advice is to start reading the labels. And I know labels can be a bit of a minefield and very hard to see because I have to wear my glasses as well. But a simple thing is read the per 100 grams. And what you're wanting is a low sodium. So it's 180 milligrams is considered low sodium. So if you could just try and stick within that range of low sodium foods, at least we're going to tick that off the list and then can target the medication as the main focus point.
All the best with that, Claudette. And we have time for one very quick call. Hi there, John in Port Melbourne.
Hello, John.
Hi, Gerald. Thank you for your call, for your help. I've just pulled a muscle in my lower back, washing my car. Why do I use a heat pack or a chill pack on it?
It's a hot injury, so a cool pack if you feel that it's aching during the day. A hot pack if it gets stiff overnight, John. But in the meantime, get some magnesium and get some advice as well. So magnesium at night before you go to bed. Get some advice as well on some lower back strengthening exercises. So either a physio or a myotherapist, someone who can actually make a difference.
And thank you. All the best with that, John. And well done on cleaning your car, because I
have to bring mine round.
That's the hard one.
That's right. Thank you so much to all of our callers this morning. Of course, head to houseofwellness.com.au. If you have a question, there is an Ask tab there. And we'll be back with more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Skin, it's our largest organ. Are you taking care of it? Cetaphil skincare is dermatologically tested and defends against five signs of skin sensitivity with simple, gentle and effective solutions. So whether you're carving it up, sweating it out, getting to work, or your skin's as dry as the outback, when it comes to protecting your sensitive skin, Cetaphil's got your back and your arms and your legs and your face. Cetaphil is available for a great price at Chemist Warehouse.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
It has been lovely to spend the last hour with you on the House of Wellness. Now, Zoe, what would I cook today if I wanted to make something really nutritious and delicious?
Well, you know what? I'm a little bit of a fan of sauces. This is what I'm doing right now, is I'm doing a lot of sauces. So I'm making things like some pesto sauces, some salsa verdes, some beautiful chamoulas. I freeze those, so then you can make them into a dressing. You can marinate your meats, your tofu. You can toss them through a salad. And it's an easy way to take something basic and boring and make it zhuzhy and fabulous and exciting,
and fabulous.
Exciting on the taste buds.
I love it. So, you know, you're just fancying up anything else that you might
have. Yeah, basically, yeah. I'm taking like that standard piece of meat, chucking some really beautiful herbs, spices, and really all those aromats not only increase the nutritional value, because remember when we look at something like iron and we get some fats and we get some vitamin C in there, we increase the absorption and we increase the flavour.
Love it. Gerald, you're out to the golf course today.
Golf at lunchtime, Joe,
oh,
but dining out on Philippa's date scones at the moment.
Oh, my gosh, how
you're
delicious.
So spoiled.
Yes, this is the world's wannabe best chef.
Oh, I think
remarkably
that's so
well.
Great. And myself, I'm going to be wandering around a nursery with
good
my mum and my daughter today. Yes.
Oh,
so I'm going to be picking up a few herbs. I hope that for once in my life, I'm able to keep my basil alive if I go and...
I've got a great tip about mint. I had no idea that mint is not a herb you ever put in the sun. So it's a shaded herb.
Okay, this is handy to know.
And look after basil.
Well, thank you so much as always for joining us on the House of Wellness. Check out houseofwellness.com.au, and thanks again to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. We'll see you all next week.